Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have on the phone with us today the ever-inspiring Nicole DePalma, and she is going to talk about a topic that's near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is the topic of happiness. And is there really a formula for happiness? What is happiness? How does it tie into other things? Great to chat with you. How have you been?
You know, I've been thinking about the happiness idea, Mo, while I was in the process of snow removal
there
in my
go.
Driveway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I was inspired to work for my core and then to not use my arms as much. It went really well.
Let's talk about what you feel happiness is, you personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I would say happiness, I could say it was a state of mind, but every time I think of happiness, and this has been how I felt about it the past few years, is that happiness is really, for me, seated in gratitude, being grateful for all I have and the life I have. And when I think about this wonderful life that I really am in present in, it sure makes me happy to think about really all the gifts that I've been given. That's how I look at it.
And do you think that happiness is the same as joy? Is it the same as contentment?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I don't mean to be nebulous about this. I think it kind of, how it strikes people, being happy could mean that you're joyful, or sometimes joy to me makes me think of just certain moments or certain people that bring us joy, certain activities. And for some people, I think it can be being content, again, maybe grateful in gratitude. But happiness, if I think about that word too, there's kind of a sparkle to it. So maybe joy there. And I know that it's an individual thing for people, but, you know, when you think about the word happy and what kind of emotions that it brings up for you, it always, I mean, there's a smile on my face every time. I mean, just talking about this with you right now, I'm smiling and just thinking about how the word happy makes me feel.
That's how it makes me feel also, is it brings a smile to my face. But that really isn't everybody's formula, is it?
Mm-hmm. No, it isn't. And sometimes, you know, with this delightful article that you sent me, Mo, and thank you for sending it along, and if anybody else wants to take a look at it, it was in the Atlantic magazine, and it was called A New Formula for Happiness. And anyway, we can go through that a little bit too, but this particular author was mentioning as well, and the author is Robert Wald, W-A-L-D-I-N-G-E-R, Waldeninger, and he was mentioning that happiness is dependent on the person and their circumstances at any given time and the outlook that they've had all their life. You know, as we're growing up, I don't want to get into inner child or anything like that, but our circumstances as we've been coming along in life and then also the circumstances that we find ourselves in now can really dictate what we think of happiness, how we experience it, and maybe, you know, moving that forward. If you think about what would make me happy in a way that's kind of putting happiness off too. So this author was saying that we follow, and this is what he's quoting here, we follow a bogus formula when we love things or measure our success by comparing that to other people, or if we want people to think that life revolves around us. That's kind of a bogus, that's the word that he uses, sense of what happiness really means. It's very superficial. And so he's looking at how do different people look at that, and those are a couple of the ideas that he came up with.
Yes, and I also think that stress obviously can eat away at our happiness, and as you mentioned, the circumstances we're in, family mm-hmm. situations, and whatever is causing stress, like a sickness of somebody that you love or your own sicknesses. What are some of the other mm-hmm. things that you took away from this article?
The tie-in that I saw with the Blue Zone books and the themes that were running through the Blue Zone books really rang a bell when I was reading this article. And the idea that we're exploring how to adjust to our expectations and our actions. And the author there was saying things like, are you taking care of yourself, your physical body, like you expect to live to 100? Do you have a really connected social network? And it doesn't have to be hundreds of people, but maybe you have one or two people in your life, you know, that you know that you could call up at 3 a.m. and they'd be there for you, that type of friendship or relationship. Also, the thing that the author wrote about that I really found intriguing was, what are your expectations for being happy? Can you find yourself being happy or content or joyful in any given moment despite your circumstances? Or, as he was mentioning, do you set yourself up for failure because you're trying to overreach and you think something else outside of you is going to make you happy? Or if you get out of the certain situation, is that going to make you happy? I think what I really appreciated about this article was that the author was making you answer these questions and really thinking about what those answers would be for yourself.
I like how your formula comes back to being grateful, because that's how all of this really does tie in, doesn't it?
Oh boy, does it ever. Because if we forget gratitude, if we forget that, and even if they're little joys, you know, someone, let's just throw out an example. Someone could live in dire poverty, but let's say that they have someone in their life, maybe it's a parent, brother, sister, friend, that they know there's a charm there, there's heart warmth there. I feel that no matter what a given circumstance could be, that there is something to feel this gratitude in your heart for. And if we can keep coming back to that, this love, if you will, this joy that you can receive from that feeling of gratitude, I think that melts our heart to open us up to more happiness and not try to seek, but saying, oh my gosh, look at what I have now. And if I can make it better, if I could achieve more and it's within my grasp, it's within my capabilities, then go for it. But not comparing. You know, Bob next door has got XYZ. I want what Bob has. Well, maybe Bob's not a happy person if you talk to him. Again, that's relative too.
It is. Let's talk also then about balance in life and how that factors in.
The B word, balance. Yeah, there's work-life balance. There's balance with who we spend our time with, how we spend our time. I just think that with balance, we have to really maybe take the time out to say, what's really important? What is really meaningful? Who's really meaningful? And am I living with what I feel is my importantness? I'm going to throw out an example here. My mom, she doesn't live that far away, but it really kind of scares me how little time we really get to spend together. And I was thinking when I saw her on Thanksgiving, I need to make it a point to get with her more. That's out of balance for me. So maybe it's something like, do I spend enough time with my kids? Or if it's my job, am I neglecting my job? Am I not giving that enough attention or investing enough of myself into that? I don't think sometimes that we really take a good inventory of what is meaningful for us and live and behave and act as if those things are really important. It's easy to say that kind of stuff, but it's another thing to really not only put our attention there, but to live that way.
And so you're saying that that's something that we can control, we can take charge of.
Oh, for sure. Because if we don't, other people, other circumstances are going to come and take over stuff for us. You could say, well, I was going to do something today, and then Betty Jo called, and then what Betty Jo needed took over. Even it might have been something very important for me to get done that day, but I let somebody else abdicate my throne. So, I mean, there's always going to be wiggle room for other things that come up. But, you know, I know that this is a cliche, Mo, but, you know, that term, what's our true north? What are our true values? And if we keep putting those aside, then if we come back to that idea of happiness, we're never going to be happy if we keep giving what's important to us away.
That makes a lot of sense. And I do think that one of the first things you said about taking care of our body, like we're going to need it for 100 years, that really make a person happy. And that means exercising. That means eating well. That means, you know, going to the doctor just to get a regular health checkup, getting enough sleep. Those are things that, you know, we always hear that adadage that if we don't have our health, we don't have anything. But it's really true, isn't it?
It is so true. Not that we can't live with physical pain and that we can't live with a disease or we can't live with a malady. We can. We can manage those things. You know, again, if that's important to us to live the best life that we can and work alongside whatever these issues are. But we can't, it's just my opinion because this is the world I live in. I live in health and wellness and fitness. We can't not take care of this amazing machine that we have, it, no matter what kind of condition it's in. My thing is to, with my clients, I'm looking at them, where are they at? What are they seeking out of their, you know, why are we working together? You know, what are their goals or what have you? It's the only item that we really have in a way that's ours, this body and this mind and this spirit. It's nobody else's. And if we're not taking care of this in every which way that we would like it to go to 100, I mean, that's the reason that yoga was really developed, was that by the time we reached old age, we would have developed enough wisdom because we've lived long enough to develop wisdom. I love that. You know, my dad used to say, too soon old, too late smart. But isn't that great? But we've got to take care of this machine, because if we do to the best it can, it will take care of us, and therefore our quality of life, our happiness, our ability to become more and more happy, a lot of it just completely rides on this physicalness that we're living in.
Also in this article, they actually have a very large survey that they've been asking people and following people for generations. And one of the questions that they asked people in their 80s, what are your biggest regrets? Do you want to tell people about men and women and that they had slightly different things to say?
Really interesting, wasn't it? With men, to me, the message that came out of that was that men were regretting letting go of relationships, you know, devoting their attention to other places. Maybe it was work, maybe it was gaining success, maybe it was acquiring things. And for women, it was, I mean, and this is how I took it, that not being appreciated for their worth and not really spending and seeking out things that would have been more important to them. I think sometimes that caretaking role that women take on. But it would have been interesting to see if you could have blended those two things for men and women, wouldn't that have been an interesting road to follow there? Again, coming back to that balance. What did you get out of it, Mo? What did you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, and I think it's the same thing that we've always heard, is that on people's deathbeds, we don't talk about how grateful we are that we spent so much time at work. Another thing that I think women were regretting was that they cared so much and worried about what other people were thinking.
Yes.
I think if you can let go of stuff like that early, that probably could lead to greater happiness.
And the other thing that, you know, and you're mentioning that, what other people think, that age time issue that the author brought up about how there are expectations for certain ages that we live in our life. You know, for example, somebody in their 80s, you're in that age time idea, well, they wouldn't dye their hair pink. But, you know, a 12-year-old, my gosh, you want them at that time to start thinking about what their career path and what college do you want to go to. The expectations, not only for genders, but ages is interesting too, kind of getting into that idea of what other people think that we should be or what we should be doing. and how that affects our road to happiness.
Absolutely, and I think the author kind of sums it up at the very end by saying that happiness is not really a destination. It's a journey of balancing and rebalancing and making progress and feeling pain and then resolving that pain to become fully alive. So happiness doesn't mean that you've never had bad times in your life.
Right, right. That's part of the deal.
You may not be the happiest person in the world, but you can be a happier person.
Yeah. You know, the mindsets that we put ourselves into, again, coming back to questioning, if you hold yourself back from something or you think, oh, I can't possibly do that, or I can't possibly have that, or that person can't possibly love me. You know, the question there would be, why would that be true? Why do I think that? Why do I think I don't have the ability to do that? Or why do I think that I wouldn't have the ability to be happy? Or why don't I think that I wouldn't have the ability to, say, move forward in my job? Where are these self-defeating ideas coming from? And keep asking that question. Why would that be valid? Where's the truth to that? And kind of work that through. There was one other quote in that story that I really just so enjoyed, and it said that if your path is clear, if you can clearly see the path, then you're looking and living somebody else's path. And I really like that because there are always going to be these twists and turns. Life happens. Things happen. I think it's our resiliency. It's our outlook. It's our ability to, you know, like the Brits say, keep calm and carry on. The wheels can fall off the bus from time to time. But like you just said, we could still be happier. We could still see the silver lining, and that doesn't mean that we're Pollyanna. But again, we can be practical and be pragmatic and say, okay, this unexpected thing happened. All right, but I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to survey my situation. And somehow or another, this is going to be okay.
Great advice, Nicole. Thank you so much for chatting it up with us. And again, if you want to reference this article yourself, it's called A New Formula for Happiness, and it was in The Atlantic Magazine. And Nicole is available always at your studio.
And I've got this cool location downtown. I just love it. We're at 214 Sibley Street, and we are called Mindful Motion, Pilates, Wellness, and Ayurveda.
Thank you so much. Great to chat with you, Nicole. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.